Lawmakers find a unified spirit. They agree that South Dakota needs to do better in keeping people out of prison. Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. More than 40% of adult offenders released from South Dakota prisons are back behind bars within 3 years. That's according to data from the State Department of Corrections. Lieutenant Governor Tony Venhuizen is leading a task force seeking innovative approaches to the problem. The Correctional Rehabilitation Task Force met in October. They're planning their next meeting now. He stopped by the SDPB studios in Sioux Falls for an update.
I think a lot of this conversation was prompted by the need for a new penitentiary. Of course, we had a task force to look at that, and that was successful, and the legislature approved that bill last month. So we will be building a new penitentiary here in Sioux Falls. Kind of as we were having that conversation following the legislative session, the legislature decided that one of its summer studies, would be looking at more the topic of programming in the correction system as opposed to the building.
Yeah.
So that a summer study is made up only of legislators. It's run by the legislative branch. They met several times over the spring and summer, although as I understand it, they're going to be doing some follow-up to put their recommendations together. They haven't done that yet. At the same time, really, as we were talking to legislators about the prison bill, getting the prison built, one thing we started to hear more and more was a lot of interest in, well, what are we going to do about programming? Right. What are we going to do to get the recidivism rate down? You know, this new penitentiary is going to have 3 or 4 times as much space for programming. That's great. What are we going to put in that space? How are we going to move the needle? So the governor thought, okay, that's a good conversation to have. Let's take the successful model of the task force and continue it with a new task force that will look at that. I guess it's my reward since the last task force was a success that I was chosen to be the chairman for this one as well. Happy to do that. And we have this is actually bigger, 30 members, half of whom are legislators. The other half are law enforcement. We have several tribal members, people representing local governments of various types. And that's what we're going to be looking at now is what in the short term, the prison, which we're going to start construction, it won't be open until 2029 or 2030.
Sure.
So we have a long-term conversation about how do we want to build out that space in the new penitentiary.
Meanwhile, yeah.
What should we be looking at now? What should we change now?
So do you anticipate that this task force will address the thousands of people who are incarcerated right now, or will its primary job to be planning for what goes in the new facility?
I think we'll be talking about both.
Okay.
I think this was initially prompted by the construction of the new penitentiary. But even legislators who opposed the new penitentiary, many of them were very interested in talking about, well, what kind of programming are we offering? So we're able to kind of move past that question of the construction and get into this new conversation. And that's something that can start now. That was our first meeting, really was looking at setting a baseline. What facilities do we have now? What are the security levels now? What programming are we offering now? Mental health, religious, faith-based programming, skills and education training,
addiction
and mental health. Yeah. What are we doing now? Just starting to set that baseline, and then we'll be delving into all those in more detail, but then the next step will be, okay, what could we be doing better?
So the prison reset task force came with a set of questions. Mm-hmm. Do we need a new prison? Where mm-hmm. should it be? Does this task force have a similar structure? What are the big questions that you are bringing to the group?
I think the big question we're bringing to the group is how can we do better?
Do you know how you're doing? Do you have enough data to say, well, this is how we're doing, this is where we have issues?
That's one of the things we talked about at our first meeting. We know what our recidivism rate is.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's pretty much a universal view. It's in the 30 or 40% range. There's a pretty universal view that it's too high. Recidivism is someone who gets out of prison and then comes back within 3 years. I always say most businesses, you want return customers.
Not in this case.
Not in
corrections. And that's 30% above?
It's probably closer to 40.
Closer to 40%.
Yeah, it depends on how you cut the numbers to a certain extent. But it's too high.
Too high.
And you're always going to have, that's never going to be zero. You're dealing with criminals here. These are people who've made bad decisions. They've committed crimes. A certain number of these people are going to get out and fall back into the old ways and commit another crime. That's just going to happen. What we want to do is give more of them the tools so that that doesn't happen. Mm. If they have a job and they can go earn money and support themselves and have something to do during the day, that's going to keep them from falling back into the old ways. If they're not addicted to drugs or alcohol anymore, that's going to help them from falling into the old ways. You know, there's a real interest in what we're doing for tribal communities. That is a large portion of our population, a much larger portion of the inmate population than of the state population. And those communities have their own challenges and their own cultural considerations, and we want to figure out how to serve them too.
So what kind of data do you need that you don't have to answer the question, how are we doing, before you measure what reform looks like and how you measure outcomes going forward?
There's no shortage of data. Okay. And sometimes you can have too much data even. But we offer a lot of different programming at all of the penitentiaries, everything from training to be a welder to drug addiction counseling to faith, you know, Bible studies, everything in between. What we'd like to be able to do is say, okay, what's the recidivism rate for people who took this course?
Sure.
What's the recidivism rate for people who were in this class? Most people do a bunch of things. You know, maybe they're in drug rehab, but they're also in the Bible study, and they're also working in the—
And are they directly related? Yeah.
Yeah, and they're also in the license plate shop. Sure. You know, and so you can cut these numbers a lot of different ways, but I do think it would be telling if we can look at some of these, and if you see the, oh, this program looks like it's really working.
Right.
Or this program looks like it doesn't do anything. You can at least start to zero in. And then looking at other states and what are they doing and what's successful there. We're just starting down that path. For this first initial phase, we're going to be forming four subcommittees to try to expedite our work prior to the legislative session. You know, I wanted to, when this was created, there were people who were, oh, are we really going to wait till after the legislative session to get to work? That's basically April. No. We're going to start. I want to have at least one more task force meeting before the end of the calendar year, probably in mid-December, I think. If that was all we did, we wouldn't get a great deal done. And so breaking up into subcommittees, I think, will help us delve into some of these things quicker and maybe identify some problems that can maybe be some quick wins, some at least initial improvements, or maybe things we need to study more. So we'll have a subcommittee on tribal communities. We'll have a subcommittee on faith-based programming. We'll have one on education and skills training, workforce training, and then one on mental and behavioral health and drug and alcohol treatment. And so we'll start down the path, and those will be able to look at these programs in more detail and also start looking at other states. We've also, talking to the Council of State Governments, CSG, who offers technical assistance all over the country for this kind of thing. And they worked with South Dakota in the past, but recently they've worked with North Dakota, they've worked with Montana. Mm-hmm. And so they are a great resource too, because they can say, oh, here's a program that Montana set up 3 years ago that you should really look at. It's working there. Why wouldn't it work for you or whatever?
You said maybe half of the committee task force is lawmakers and other stakeholders then. How many people do you have that have personal experience with incarceration, and how are you listening to the people who are either currently behind bars or who have been in jail and have something to say about what they think they need or would work?
We talked about that at our first meeting, that we want to find ways for the task force members to hear from inmates and former inmates to hear their perspectives. We have people on the task force who work with a lot of the nonprofits in Sioux Falls in particular that work with inmates and former inmates. Of course, we have law enforcement who have, you know, and a judge, and they have their perspective. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people from different parts of the system, and then we'll be bringing in. I didn't really want to pick one inmate. It seemed a little weird to have a task force, and here's a guy. I mean, there's so many different types of experiences and personal circumstances that I don't know how you would represent that through one person. And I think it's better if we can engage with a lot of them.
Yeah. Early things that give you encouragement that there either can be those quick wins, but then also meaningful reform and change can be achieved in South Dakota.
Well, the whole tenor of the conversation is encouraging. You know, with the construction of the new penitentiary, that was a very controversial, emotional topic. And we would take public testimony and have 2 or 3 hours of people showing up, hearing every side of the deal. I don't know if I want to say there's consensus exactly, because that means we all have arrived on the same conclusion, and I don't think that's quite true. But I think there's a lot more of a unified spirit around, we know we have this opportunity, we know we have this problem, we think we can do better, we want to find ways to do better. And I think that's really encouraging. Nobody's coming to these meetings saying, no, don't look at programming, recidivism is great, and there's no kind of other side to this. It's just, what's the best pathway forward?
Yeah. So one more meeting probably between now and legislative session. What is the work during legislative session for this task force then?
It's always very difficult for a group like this that has a lot of legislators on it to commit it to a lot of time during the legislative session, because there just isn't a lot of time. And you set yourself up to fail if you're expecting a lot of outside time from legislators, because during the session they just don't have it. So what I would like to see is that we're able to have these first two meetings and have some preliminary steps that we can take in the short term, maybe with the idea that following the legislative session, we turn a little more to the long term.
You mentioned, you know, what's happening behind the walls of a new prison, of the current prison, of other facilities throughout the state. But there are also barriers outside in society. So sometimes that rehabilitation happens behind bars, and sometimes there are barriers, you know, obstacles that trip people up, and that's part of what we're seeing systemically. Is the role of the task force to really focus only on, like, hey, this is what we have control of that we're doing here? Or does the role going to sort of creep out into this whole wider idea of, are there things that we can do in the state with sentencing laws or with education, you know, investments that would address this more broadly?
Yeah, that's always a temptation, and it might happen to a certain extent. I did say at the first meeting, in my mind, our scope is the programming that takes place in the prison system. And it's important with a group, and that's a lot right there. It's important with a group like this that you don't bite off way more than you can chew, because then you end up, you don't get anywhere. And so, yeah, it's very easy as we're having these conversations, and this even happened a little at our first meeting. Oh, well, maybe we should look at some of the sentencing. Or what about pre-trial diversions or pre-sentencing diversions? Or what about the services when they get out?
Right. Nonviolent offenders. Yeah. You know, and, where are they at? How many are here and how many are there? Yeah.
You even mentioned even further downstream, what about early childhood development, and doesn't that affect, I mean,
what does the research show about that, and
right,
would that change the narrative?
Right, yeah. And you can, all valid questions, but again, this task force isn't going to reinvent the world, right? We need to kind of keep our focus on what we can affect, and I think what we really need to focus on is, what is the programming that we can offer in the prison to make these people more successful when they get out, understanding that that's not the whole puzzle. It's a piece to the puzzle, but that's the piece of the puzzle we're working on.
Lieutenant Governor Van Huysen leads the governor's Correctional Rehabilitation Task Force. Now, that work is a follow-up to the Project Prison Reset Task Force that finished its work in September. After that, legislators approved a $650 million prison construction project that is set to replace the men's state prison on the hill in Sioux Falls. That facility, it's more than 140 years old. That's our conversation for today. We hope that it served you. If you have an idea for an interview on the In the Moment podcast, send me an email, inthemoment@sdpb.org. From all of us here at SDPB, I'm Lori Walsh. Thanks for listening.